Hey, Ron, have you got anything to do in the next minute or two? You, Ron Smallowitz.
Come to the mic.
Come on up to the head table for a moment, would you please?
I'd like to read a citation that we're about to give Ron Smallowitz. It reads as follows. Dear Ron, on behalf of the New England Fishery Management Council, it is my pleasure to publicly recognize you for your contributions to the development of the turtle deflector dredge now required by Framework 23 to the Sea Scallop Fishery Management Plan. Years ago, the scallop industry acknowledged a problem with the loggerhead sea turtles. To minimize the possibility of injuries or deaths resulting from accidental encounters between turtles and scallop dredge gear, you in particular, led the effort to explore remedies that produce cutting-edge research and ultimately a very workable solution to a serious problem. The Council also realizes that other dedicated individuals worked with you over the years on the turtle dredge in various capacities, from conducting at-sea trials and analyzing results to ensuring there would be substantial conservation benefits for sea turtles. This list includes Mr. Matthew Weeks and Ms. Catherine Getting at the Coonamessett Farm Foundation, as well as other important partners, veteran scallop plan development team member Bill DePaul and Dr. David Rudders, both from Virginia Institute of Marine Science, along with several Northeast Fisheries Science Center staff, Dr. Heather Haas, Dr. Henry Milliken, Dr. Kimberly Murray, and Mr. Eric Mattson. The Council also acknowledges several different offices within NOAA Fisheries, the Northeast Regional Office and the Southeast Fisheries Science Center's harvesting system units for their general support of the project. Finally, and key to the success of this project, many scallop industry members provided their expertise, guidance, and resources, not to mention their energy and unflagging interest. To name a few, they are Eddie Welsh, Charlie Quinn, the late John Larson, Kirk Larson, Jim Gutowski, Ron Enochson, Peter Anthony, and Dan Elertson. This diverse team produced an outcome that demonstrates clearly how fishermen, regional scientists, and fishery management groups can collaborate to produce highly successful results. Your commitment and dedication over the years is very much appreciated. Ron, the Council is grateful to you for your leadership and persistence, your dedication to the scallop fishery, and your participation in the management process overall. We thank you and your colleagues for all your efforts. Warm wishes, Rip Cunningham, Chairman.
We'll take a 10-minute break, and we can get started with this afternoon's session. We're already quite far behind, and we need to keep going. I'm going to turn it over to Mary Beth Tooley for the Scallop Committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we met last in January, the Scallop Committee has met working on Framework 24, as well as the PET and the AP. Our report today does not include our work on Framework 24. I will note in your packet, which is under tab 4, there are summaries of all three of those meetings. I think that it's likely that we will be coming back to the full council in June with more specificity on Framework 24. Today we have two items under this agenda for the council consideration. One is approval of the research priorities for 2013 and 14, and we also have a presentation from the Science Center on the Federal Scallop Dredge Survey. So I think that the most expeditious way to move through this is to have Deidre make a presentation to us on the status of the research priorities. I will note that there is a motion from the committee recommending that we approve the changes that were proposed by the PDT and that the AP also made this recommendation. There also is some correspondence that we've received relative to our agenda today. Most recently, one, if people are checking their email, is a letter from Senator Kerry. And we also had a hard copy of a letter from Senator Kerry's, from Representative Strauss as well. So if people have those items handy, as well as a PowerPoint presentation on the survey. So for now, I think I'll turn it over to Deirdre for research priorities. Oh, and just one comment before we get started. These two items are separate at our committee meeting. There was a lot of crossover and comments that we received about the research set aside, the research priorities, and the presentation on the integration of the HABCAM. So to the extent that we can, really sort of delve into these issues for any kind of thoughts people have on the research set aside and the priorities. They are very closely linked. Those projects that get funded under the research set aside, this is the blueprint from which things get funded. So if people just keep that in mind as we move through the topic, I think it would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Beth. I do not have a presentation. I was just going to walk you through document number one behind tab four. And really all this is a track change version of the research priorities that you approved in the last framework, Framework 2022. And what the PDT did is basically start with those priorities, and we made several modifications or suggestions to the AP and committee to consider that are summarized on the first page of that document. I'll just very briefly explain what those four primary changes are, and even though the priorities on the next few pages look as though we've completely started over, that's really not the case. It was just a little bit of cleaning up and so forth. So just to briefly summarize, in general, there are 11 scallop priorities related to the RSA set aside, and usually around June, the agency will send out a request for funding opportunity that'll go through the Federal Register. And the scallop RSA process has become pretty competitive, or very competitive, I would say, and several dozen applications are sometimes received each year. We've taken the process of setting the priorities outside of the framework process in an effort to try to improve on the timing of when research programs are approved and can start their work, so they're not linked or hung up with any framework actions. So what will happen after this council meeting, if you do approve these research priorities, we will then, by letter, send them over to the agency, and they can start their request for funding opportunity process. In general, the major changes, and again, they really are not major, but the changes that the PDT originally suggested is, number one, to revise the turtle research bullet, and mostly those changes are pretty technical in nature, nothing that really changes the overall concept that we're looking for turtle-related research. But the suggestion from the PDT in general was to move it from its current position under the high priority items and move it down to medium. As you know, the FMP recently, and through the RSA process, has been funding a good portion of turtle-related gear and information about turtle behavior and biology and impacts potentially from the scallop fishery. And we've been funding that for several years now pretty substantially. The thought at the PDT level was now that the turtle dredge is required and this dredge modification has been approved, that in terms of it competing with other research topics, still leaving it as medium is still registered as an important topic, but maybe not as important as the things that are under the high priority items. Number two would be overall, for years, the most, I would say, elevated topic in general has been industry-funded, industry-based surveys, intensive surveys of scallop access areas. That's bullet number one if you turn the page under highest priorities. For years, that has always been kind of the overarching highest priority for scallop RSA funding. The PDT discussed that should, with a few edits you can see, which don't really change the concept of it, should maintain under the highest priorities. But in addition, the scallop PDT is recommending a new bullet be included, and it's actually the third one now, which would include a very similar intensive industry-based surveys, but actually of candidate access areas. So that would be any area that's currently an open area or a closed area would receive similar weight in terms of priority to almost help us be on the lookout for new potential areas with high recruitment. As you'll learn as we work on Framework 24, there are some concerns in the Mid-Atlantic, especially that recruitment has been down, scallop biomass is down, so we really want to be on the lookout for potential areas to bring into the future access area program. So the PDT recommended that this priority be added and have the same weight as existing access areas. There was some discussion, I would say, at the PDT level of whether that should be moved to medium or high, but ultimately the advisors and committee recommended finally in their last motions to leave it under the highest priority item. And the ranking of these really are important. It seems that they're all very similar and everything's important, of course, but when it gets down to such a competitive process and you have proposals that are pretty similar in terms of their technical merits, having something that supports a high priority versus a medium sometimes makes the difference in whether it's funded or not. The third primary suggestion that the PDT discussed would be the second bullet under high, which is related to bycatch. And this was a large discussion, and we had a lot of nice input from the advisors as well, having to do with bycatch. This clearly is becoming a very hot topic in the scallop plan. We seem to be spending the majority of our time at all levels talking about bycatch and ways to reduce bycatch in the scallop fishery of finfish in particular. So this bullet was recommended with some tweaks to be more specific and to maintain under the high priority item. And then finally, the rest of the edits, the number four, again, are just some small changes, some more specific language to some of the other priorities. But in general, the advisors are basically bringing this, as well as the committee, to you as their final recommendation as drafted in this document. Just for your information, at the last page is a summary of all the previous RSA-funded projects to give you a sense by year and by topic, the number of projects and dollars spent by category. And it's just interesting, if you have time to look through it, how over time some of these priorities have changed in terms of when we were more focused on conservation engineering and gear modifications, and when turtle research was kind of a higher priority and so forth. You can see those changes in how those RSA dollars were spent. But by far, the scallop survey-related projects, whether they're image or dredge or different calibration studies, by far, you know, over 50% usually each year is spent on that research topic. So that's the, I believe it was a consensus statement by the committee, actually, to approve these priorities as drafted. And that's really all I have as far as the presentation.
Do you have a motion on these, Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can find it, yes, I do. As Deidre indicated, it truly was a consensus statement by the committee. So I'm not sure if this I can offer this as a committee motion, so I'll make a motion and look for a second. That the committee approves the list of research priorities as presented with the modifications suggested by the PDT. This is a consensus statement by the committee, and I'm looking for a second.
Seconded by Rodney Avila. Discussion. Dave Gatham.
Question for Deidre. In document number one here at the top, it says PDT, AP, and committee reviewed the priorities and approved these. Was there any substantial changes made along the way? I mean, did everybody pretty much endorse the same concepts, or were there differences amongst the various groups?
There wasn't. Thanks for asking. No, everyone was pretty much on the same page. I would just note, though, that each group kind of ran out of time. It was one of the last agenda items at each of the meetings. I wouldn't say we thoroughly went through each of these bullets. Instead, each group instead spent more time talking about where to put them as medium or high. And the only real discussion back and forth was, you know, should bycatch related topics stay under high or should we move them lower so that clearly, you know, industry industry-based surveys of the existing and potentially new access areas sort of stands alone, and there was some discussion of turtles, and it was more about where to place them and not so much changing. And honestly, everyone was pretty much, there wasn't a whole lot of debate, but we did not, you know, not have a lot of time at both meetings.
Okay, thank you. And a follow-up question. There's obviously some discussion based on these letters we received today about HABCAM and moving forward with that as a principal research tool. And I can't, maybe I missed it, but I don't see any really evaluation of that in here. Is that going to be a separate topic? So that's not going to be part of the research priorities to evaluate how that works compared to existing survey methods?
Just to follow up on that question, the research set-aside funds primarily industry projects, although I guess it doesn't preclude non-industry people from submitting proposals, certainly. And the HABCAM work is the federal survey. So the federal survey is not funded by these priorities. It's a separate process. The research set-aside process at the committee, we actually did receive a lot of comments about, you know, research set-aside that weren't specific to the priorities. And I did note in the letter that we received from Representative Strauss a little bit of confusion, perhaps, about the priorities that we would approve here and what has been funded for 2012. And just to be very clear, these priorities that we would approve would be for projects that would be funded going into the future for 2013 and 14, and so do not have any bearing on those that are already funded for 2012 and have nothing to do with the integration of the HABCAM into the federal survey.
David Pierce.
Yeah. A clarification, Mr. Chairman. I think you just said that none of the research set-aside funds are being used for HABCAM work. I thought that some funds were being used for HABCAM work.
Well, just to clarify, if I had said that I misspoke. What I meant to clarify was that the presentation that we're going to have following this in regard to HABCAM being integrated into the federal survey is not relative to the research set-aside or research priorities. The HABCAM work has been funded through RSA. That's a different project that is not the federal survey. So there is some confusion there as we talk about HABCAM, because certainly in the past, and I believe in presently, the HABCAM, you know, work or development came through RSA. But it is separate moving forward in relationship to the federal survey for funding purposes.
Thank you. Well, I guess to the motion. Everything can't be highest priority. I understand that. I'm still struggling, however, to fully appreciate the importance of the first bullet on the medium priority. It's not a highest priority. It's a medium priority, and that is other resource surveys to expand and or enhance survey coverage in areas that have the potential to be important resource areas but currently have a lack of comprehensive survey coverage. I guess my question would be of you, Deirdre, and this relates to the implications for the implications for management by our not having that sort of survey coverage in those areas where many scallops are found. And there at the current time is a fishery on those scallops because they have been found by the industry. So catch per effort could be high as a consequence of those scallops being found in those areas. And if that is the case, what is the implication of those high catch rates in those areas that have not been surveyed, included in biomass estimates? What are the implications? Would one implication be that we would be faced potentially with a decision to reduce days at sea? That would help me evaluate whether or not this particular bullet on the medium priority perhaps should be considered for highest.
Thank you, David. I agree with you. I think the difficult part is wanting to put everything under high. And I would say, although many of the groups recently didn't spend an enormous amount of time looking at each of these bullets, I would probably characterize it as the reason this one remains under medium compared to the two above it is that the two above it is an intensive survey that's needed to set attack for a very particular area. We need it for determining whether there's enough biomass in there for, you know, half of the fleet to have a trip or the full fleet to have a trip or two trips and so on. This one is also very important, but compared to having to set an actual tack, the same level of intense surveying maybe is not as high as the other two reasons. And the other point is probably that two surveys last year were funded for this particular topic and were very informative and very useful. And from everything we learned there, we did the implication part of your question is yes, we learned that there is additional scallop biomass inshore of the current federal scallop survey, and it helped us get a better handle on how much there is. And it was those surveys were very useful last year. To put it up at high again, to sort of just relook at that, maybe doesn't compete with some of those other, you know, needing to have attack per area. It's still important. It's still under medium if there are other areas like that in the mid-Atlantic, south of Long Island, if that's what you're referring to. But still having to set a TAC for a particular area is arguably a higher need.
Anyone else on the council? Go to the audience. Any comments on this motion? Back to the council. Dave Gaethel.
One last bite at the apple here. Without seeing the presentation on HAPCAM, it's hard to make a potential change to research priorities, but I still don't understand why going forward there isn't some research priority here for calibration of these various surveys. This is going to be a new survey type. I can't find anything in these research priorities that does calibration studies to calibrate it to the existing methods. And I would think the scallop industry would want that as a research priority. I understand the RSA and how it gets to be funded and everything, but, you know, inadequate calibration could be potentially catastrophic down the road.
Very bad.
I certainly don't disagree that calibration is an important issue, and I think it's a question that we could ask of the center following their presentation. I don't necessarily think that the research set aside would be the appropriate place to calibrate the changes to the federal survey. Just my opinion. I don't. It's a question to bring up after the presentation by Dr. Rago.
Anyone else? Barr?
Do we even have the authority to tell the service to calibrate their studies?
Well, I wouldn't answer for them, but.
Well, I think we can certainly recommend to them that. Do we have any authority over whether they do it or not? No. Anyone else in the council? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. Opposed? Abstention? 17-0-0 carries. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second part of this agenda is a presentation on the future plans of the Federal Scallop Dredge Survey, including integration of the HABCAM results with existing survey technologies. And as I indicated earlier, everyone should have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation. Dr. Paul Rago is going to provide us with this presentation today, and I'll turn it over to Paul.
Thank you, Mary Beth. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm happy to present the information about the integration of HABCAM. It's also, I'm glad to be here on a day when Ron Smolowitz was received his award, because the photo on the left of this presentation, on this slide, is one that I took on the fishing vessel Westport, Eddie Welch's vessel, and this was in 1997 on a trip to the closed area. So this was before the cooperative surveys began. It was also, if I have any notoriety in the city of New Bedford, it may be for this trip. And and it's also what I also want to emphasize too is that Kevin Stokesbury and I had a paper at the ICES meeting in 2002, and it really did focus on the idea of complementarity, that various resource surveys provide complementary information about the status of the resource, from the broad scale resource surveys to the intense closed area surveys, and these both have a great deal of value in terms of trying to define the magnitude of the resource, and I think we've come a long way since 1997, and I hope to sort of emphasize that process here. This presentation is in response to information, a request by the council, by Dave Pierce and Dave Preble, to explain, one, how we intend to integrate HABCAM into the overall biomass estimates, to detail the scientific obstacles for how this will occur, to give a timeline on the integration, and then what our intentions are, so to speak, on continued use of other surveys for biomass estimates. So the major points, if everybody starts answering their emails after I start, these are the ones I think I want everybody to take home. The first is that the agency, the center, is fully committed to providing the information for stock assessments. This is a valuable resource. We will build on the previous history of the DREDS survey and transition to this new image-based survey in some form that will serve scallops and other needs. There are other hosts of scientific and management needs that this type of survey can provide. We fully support, and I think the record is clear, that multiple data sources, including longstanding cooperative research efforts, are vital to sound management of the scallop resource. And you've heard information from Deirdre and Mary Beth, on those lines, that it's a shared effort. It's also important to recognize that you need the biological samples. So we will continue to use a combined dredge and advanced sensor package survey as a way of monitoring this resource. We are prepared for the contingencies, including sensor package failures. And so I'll go into some of the details on what that preparation entails. And then, of course, finally, we will be building a bridge to with past survey methodology. The HABCAM towed camera system was developed in collaboration between fishermen and scientists at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. It was funded by research set-aside funds, by NOAA, and by the Northeast Consortium. The Kathy Marie collaborations with Richard Taylor and Scott Gallagher and colleagues of his at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution were sort of vital or essential to sort of applying this type of advanced image analysis, and these are the people that found the Titanic, so they're very good at this particular type of towed body camera imaging system. It consists of it's a kind of blurred picture there, but you can see that it has cameras and strobes and other instruments inside a towed frame. It's towed off the bottom, about 2 meters from the bottom, and provides a lot of images in a very short period of time. It's towed at about 5 knots, and the images it acquires are greater than 3 per second and only upwards of 5 to 10. These are overlapping images, so there's the ability to fully characterize the segment of the bottom habitat. It can cover more image, more ground than a typical dredge survey, and it allows for processing of information on multiple spatial scales. So what does that mean? Basically, it can range anywhere from the individual quadrat up to the full footprint of a dredge toe through multiple dredge toes in contiguous formation. So it allows for a lot of additional information that neither one of the other alternative sampling platforms can provide. It also provides a lot of information on the fish and their habitat. And like the SMAS drop camera survey, the detection efficiency approach is 100%. Every piece of gear has some form of bias associated with it. Nothing is a perfect sampling device. So whether it's dredge efficiency or detection efficiency or measurement bias, all systems have various forms of bias. And that is one reason why it's very important to incorporate multiple sources of data in terms of these systems. In 2011, there was the first large-scale HabCam survey that incorporated a full survey of Georges Bank. It was intended as a prototype for future surveys. Essentially, the HabCam survey was done in conjunction with the dredge survey on the research vessel SHARP from the University of Delaware, and we reduced the total number of toes by about 100 toes. That was the reduction. The consequence of that reduction in terms of the overall precision of the estimates from the dredge component of the survey was about went from about 8% CV to about 10% coefficient variation. So very small loss of precision in that system. During that period of time, it collected about 2.5 million images over a period of 10 sea days. Now, I'll give you a few of the photographs of the system, and as common in a brightly lit room, you can't see everything here, but you can see the image of the patch, the strip of scallops along a swath there, the abundance of skates and red hake in that in the right lower right hand picture, and then some additional scallops on the left. There, the evidence of predator prey interactions, as Kevin has demonstrated in some of his video images. There's a crab having a scallop lunch, and the starfish on a set of fish. Or a scallop, excuse me. Bottom habitat and interactions are also images or information that can be provided in these types of systems, and has been demonstrated by the SMAS system. You know, these are extraordinarily valuable in terms of characterizing the bottom, and these can be expanded. So. And finally, a picture's worth a thousand words, especially mine. And the idea here is that the tunicate Deinonym and its coverage on the bottom, the ability to map that is extraordinarily important, not only for the scallop resource but for many other species, and trying to understand that. So the types of images you can get from these types of camera systems. This is the results of the survey for 2011 on Georges Bank, and it provides kind of an image of the density, the color, usual color coding for density images on the bottom. It's on Georges Bank. The central part, of course, is not sampled, and generally low quality or zero. Scallop habitat there. The comparisons, though, I think this is the important figure here. And I won't go through all the numbers in the slide, but I will emphasize that that the the comparisons between the SMAS and the HABCAM for 2011 and for the NS and Northeast Fishery Science Dred Survey are very much in the same ballpark. The SMAS and HABCAM estimates of biomass are roughly the same. There is some borrowing of information between these images here, and I mean for these between these estimates, and particularly the use of the size frequency distributions are shared in terms of trying to characterize. One gets an estimate of density, the composition, the size structure of that density is quite important, and that does allow for comparisons. And in the in the South Channel, the estimate of 26,000 versus 26,048 versus 26,491 metric tons, extraordinarily close, and also extraordinarily important in terms of the future use of this resource. So in aggregate, they differ slightly, but in the smaller the area of inference, generally the greater the degree of difference when you try and make inferences about smaller and smaller quantities, that the ability to make precise estimates oftentimes gets compromised. So in terms of the original set of questions, first, explain how it intends. It refers to Northeast Fisheries Science Center or National Marine Fisheries Service, I guess, in all cases here. It intends to integrate the HABCAM results into the biomass estimates. Well, it has, as I mentioned earlier, like all estimates of fishery-independent measures, it has uncertainty, and it is important to incorporate that uncertainty into the assessment models. The habitat and the assessment models rely on complementary information. Now, one of the ways in which this information was peer-reviewed was that in June of 2010 at the SARC 50 assessment of sea scallops. So there were comparisons based on the 2009 comparative work that was done in the Nantucket Lightship closed area, and that comparison consisted of surveys conducted by VIMS with a dredge survey, with the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, dredge survey with the SMAS drop camera survey, and with HABCAM. So there were comparisons that were done and reviewed at that meeting. In terms of how these data are used, there are two ways. One is in the assessment model, which provides sort of the overall umbrella. I'm getting a lot of feedback here. Too loud. In the assessment model, which is known as CASA, this is the model that provides sort of the broad brush. What's the overall status of the resource? Integrating over all the various sources of information, and incorporates a lot of the biological information as well. The dredge survey and the SMAS video survey are incorporated in that, as well as we may be introducing some of the VIMS data at a later point. But there's another layer, another type of modeling effort that's extraordinarily important for the scallop industry, and that is the scallop area management model. We're known as SAMS or simulator, but this is the vehicle, if you will, that allows for the incorporation of the fine scale information that occurs from various cooperative surveys, from the broad scale SMAS survey, from the NIMS survey. This particular model allows for that fine tuning that's necessary for deciding, how and when and what type of research effort, or excuse me, fishing effort is allowed in a particular area, or not allowed, but what's recommended if you want to use the resource over a number of years. And so this one is where a lot of the serves as the primary vehicle for integration of cooperative research efforts. The second question was provide some of the scientific and technical obstacles to successful integration of the HABCAM results. There will be none. Nothing will go wrong. So no, there will be. One is the continual refinement of the survey design and estimation of, you know, with a combination of both image and dredge samples. There's a lot of exciting research to do, and I think a lot of advances that can be made that will benefit not only the pairing of the dredge and the HABCAM survey, but of all the surveys there. Exciting research doesn't mean anything if it costs at the bottom line, and that's one thing, of course, we are keenly aware of, that this is not a game or anything. This is highly important and important long-term research. We want to maintain the capability to conduct the dredge survey and to blend with the HABCAM results. One of the things that is missing at this point, and I'll defer all questions on funding to the science director for the center, Bill Karp. But in terms of, you know, we don't have our own fiber optic winch now. There are concerns about post-cruise image processing, and that's a long-term thing. And then, of course, loss or equipment failure. We do have a backup system, and we do have a contingency plan that will allow, hopefully, for complete complementarity, that the demonstrated capability that occurred in on Georgia's Bank this past year is that we will always retain the ability to do the dredge survey while conducting a survey of this type. So, and again, the importance of the biological samples is critical. In terms of ongoing work, Scott Gallagher and colleagues at HUI are working with Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and earlier with Los Alamos in terms of trying to automate the image processing system. There's a lot of computer-intensive work that's being done in the image processing field, and this holds a lot of promise. There's a lot of work on geostatistical methods where we can incorporate prior information in terms of estimating densities. A particular technique known as co-kriging can help incorporate and interrelate the information from various multiple surveys. And then to date, there have been over 150 HABCAM versus survey dredge comparative tows, and by that I mean that there was, you know, multiple overlap HABCAM results compared to the dredge survey and on the same spot. And that they've been done over a period of a number of years, from beginning in 2006. So what is the timeline? In 2011, the exercise on Georgia's Bank demonstrated that you could integrate the two pieces of information, that it was only, as I mentioned earlier, only a slight increase in the overall coefficient of variation. The 2012 dredge survey will continue, but at about half the overall station density. By that I mean that we will drop about 200 tows, devote that ship time to the more extensive use of the habitat HABCAM survey, and that will be over both resource areas, Mid-Atlantic and Georgia's Bank. In 2012, we're also introducing a new dual camera HABCAM that will allow for three-dimensional or stereoscopic imaging of the bottom, and that will also incorporate a number of oceanographic and side scan sonar systems as well. So ability to see and image both by visual and acoustic imaging is highlighted in this survey. We will make the 2012 survey data available for use in August of 2012, so that we don't anticipate any delay in that exercise or any implications for management. And there is also a research set-aside sponsored closed area 2 trip independent of the federal survey. So there will be additional testing of the HABCAM system. And then I think a very important point here at the bottom, 2012 and 13 are transition years. We will evaluate the progress, the results of those comparative work, and revise the plan accordingly so that it won't be an abrupt shift. And, you know, if there is a mid-course correction or if the balance of HABCAM versus other dredge samples needs to be addressed, that's the point that we will be done. So the final one, what are our intentions for continued use of other surveys? As I said at the beginning, and I'd like to conclude with the same message, these are complementary surveys. The dredge survey, the S-Master video camera survey, the VIMS dredge surveys, and other experiments and needs are all important and provide information on different facets of the scallop resource. This is a productive and well-managed and strong resource, and its management is strongly supported by both science of all the parties, SMAS, VIMS, NIMS, industry and academic partners, and I think it's in everyone's self-interest to keep up that process, and so that would be the final, and any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Just so that everybody understands, I wanted to outline where we're behind time. We still have the enforcement committee report to do, and at 4:15 we're slated to go into the listening session, and there are some people that will be online for that. My intention would be to work on comments or questions, et cetera, for Paul concerning this. Depending on how that goes, we would sort of break it at 4:15 and go into the listening session. We'll see how many questions that we get for that. Depending on that amount, we'll come back and finish up any comments, questions, and see if we can get the research priorities report in. And we will break, however, by 5:30 in order for people to get over to the reception. So that's sort of my schedule, so I will open it up to council members. Questions for Paul? David Pierce.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Very commendable all the work done by the center regarding the HABCAM to give us a new way, a complementary way to assess the abundance of sea scallops. So thanks for all that efforts by the center and all those involved at the center, from you all the way down to Vora Hart, of course. It's work that's been well done. And you've been very frank with your comments about where you stand right now. I appreciate the time that was put into answering the questions that I had posed at the last council meeting that this council then approved to pass on to the center. So thank you for all of that. I got a couple of questions. It's unclear to me yet, even after your presentation, it's unclear to me where the center is with regards to the promotion of the use of, continued use of S-MAS results. And the reason why I'm confused, and you can clarify this for me, is that in your presentation, at the beginning of your presentation, you say that regarding the major points for the scallop surveys, we'll build on previous history for dredge survey and transition to a new image-based survey that will serve scallops and other needs. I assume that's the HABCAM. So it kind of leaves me with no clear understanding as to what the center's perspective is on SMAS. It sounds like that particular industry-supported survey is going to be phased out. That seems to be that's what's suggested, and I'm sure I'm wrong. But anyways, that's the way it comes across. And I have the same confusion from your other slide, which is on page 9 of the presentation, where in response to my question, the council's question, details scientific technical obstacles for successful integration of HAGCAM results. You indicate in your second bullet, maintain capability to conduct the dredge survey and blend with HAGCAM results. So I don't see any mention of SMAST here or elsewhere, except you're emphasizing towards the end of your presentation that SMAST is a complementary survey that is of use. So would you help me get a clear understanding as to where the center is right now with regard to that industry-supported survey?
Yeah, I think it's important to distinguish between what the center does in terms of its research initiative on this system and the transition to a video-based system, and the financial support given to SMAST either through earlier congressional directives or through the research set aside program, and I think that is an important distinction. I don't explicitly mention it in either of the two bullet points that you brought up, primarily because we're trying to say we value one the importance of a dredge based information. And the biological samples that it provides, the contemporaneous ability to select both the dredge information as well as pairing that up with the image information is an important part. The second point on page 9 is related to the ability to fall back on a dredge survey if we do have something that, you know, doesn't work out or it fails, so that ability to sort of, during this transition phase in particular, to maintain that capability. As far as the competitive process for the RSAs and other research initiatives, we don't have a position on the other survey or VIMS or SMAST or any of the other things. We do afford the opportunity for, there are other venues that we do not directly support, but, you know, certainly have that opportunity. So I guess that's about as much as I can say, and maybe Bill would want to comment further on that aspect, or if I'm talking too much, I'll stop now.
Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Poole's captured the center's perspective on this, I think, quite accurately, which is our responsibility in terms of the dredge survey and transitioning that survey to use HAGCAM is one thing, and that's somewhat separate than to continuing funding through RSA or through other sources of these other survey activities, which are clearly important, and as Paul has shown, those results provide additional information which can and will be integrated into the assessment. So I think that separation is important. I'm not sure if it completely answers your question, Dave, but feel free to pursue it if you wish.
Okay, thank you. I guess my concern has been and continues to be that from the presentation given by DeVore at the Scholar Committee meeting, and from what I've heard since then, this coming summer, the 2012 survey, the dredge survey stations at TOWS have been cut back from 400 to 200. My understanding is that the HAGCAM will survey those stations that are going to be lost because of the cutback on the dredge survey. Plus, of course, the SMAX work has been cut back dramatically. I think one of their proposals regarding the SMAX survey was not funded, and one was cut back rather dramatically. So we'll have less information from that survey with greater dependence on, reliance on for this year, and for predictability next year, I suppose, more reliance on HAGCAM. So I really need to feel quite confident that the HAGCAM is going to be able to do the job in the absence of that particular those particular surveys. So that's why I'm you know, I wonder how you are going to, how the center is going to be able to provide information that we'll have great confidence in for this summer when the HABCAM is still, as you say, in transition, still a lot of work to be done, continual refinement of the survey design, models are being used that haven't necessarily been peer-reviewed. You did reference 2010 where the SARC did cover it, but a lot has happened since then. So I'm still uncertain as to how reliable, how useful the HABCAM results are going to be this year in light of all of the work that still needs to be done. The scholarly resource, extremely important, of course, and we can't afford to make some mistakes with survey results or provide survey results that the industry doesn't believe. That's why the transition is important. I've got high hopes for the HABCAM, don't get me wrong. I've got high hopes for it. But in the interim, between now and when we successfully, I assume, transition to the use of the HABCAM, I'm concerned that we may lose a lot by cutting back on the dredge survey and losing the SMAS survey. So with all that said, I guess I'm asking you, Paul, if you could elaborate on the scientific and technical obstacles for the successful integration of HABCAM results. What do you mean by continual refinement of the survey design and estimation with combination of image and dredge samples? You know, to what extent does this continual refinement impact the ability for you and the center to provide us with useful information, reliable information from this summer survey?
Yeah, thank you, David. I think one starting point is this slide on the screen, which is the slide that did make the comparisons for 2011. You know that for that system, and you had three sets of estimates that were very close. You had another set of estimates that were described for Nantucket Lightship in 2009. And that also provided that degree of cohesion or coherence among the various estimates. Now, to your other points related to, you know, what are some of the obstacles, the refinement of the survey design is one of sort of optimal placement of dredge or of tow paths for the imaging system. That is one that that there has been a reasonable amount of work done thus far, a lot of quality assurance and control kinds of issues that Scott Gallagher and others have examined as part of this, and also the ability to interpolate across tow paths. So the same criteria that are used in any survey where you take, whether it's a stratified random, whether it's a systematic survey, or whether it's a towpath type, a snake, if you will, of toes across the bottom, you are always have the need to extrapolate to the unsampled area. And there are various ways of actually doing that extrapolation, but in general, they rely on the covariance, that is, the association between images in one strip to another, and that's an important part of refining that design. So there's a reasonable amount of work going on. To Burton Shank in our lab is working on various ways of optimal sampling coverage for that, so that we can continue to refine that process. We think we have a reasonable process now that can make those extrapolations, but there's always a need to get better. The development of co-kriging or models to incorporate both types of information is an area of research, is one that can go on apart from the ability to provide estimates, but it's one that I think, you know, it'll allow the same type of analysis of the whether it's SMAST or HABCAM or the VIMS surveys, that fine scale information can be incorporated directly into the results.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard a lot of feedback from a variety of places on the integration of the HABCAM, and there appears to be a perception that it's not really tested or peer-reviewed, and you did mention on page 7 that it was peer-reviewed at the SARC 50 in 2010, and then, you know, we're presently in the integration phase, so I'm curious how the calibration, I mean, was, if you could expand on that a little bit, was peer-reviewed at the SARC for the technology, but then how do you, is the calibration process into your historic dredge survey an ongoing process? And then when you talk about the reduction in the number of dredge tows, but you also said that you have the ability to sort of fill that in if you need. You can increase the number of tows in recent, you know, in the future here if we need that. And I'm wondering if that's something, you know, relative to the calibration that maybe 2012 should consider.
At the SARC, there and over the years, there have been a number of, as I said, about 150 tows in which a dredge tow was taken, and then that was followed by an independent density estimate from the camera system being towed pretty much as possible over the previous tows. So that was an ability to sort of get an estimate of dredge efficiency directly from that kind of exercise. The comparisons in 2009 in the lightship area provided a way of illustrating the comparability of the density estimates between the two systems, and particularly this is the relevant comparison is HABCAM and the SMAS survey. That did provide that capability of getting the density estimates with measures of precision for them. The other piece of information comes from the model-based inferences, and again, that is not a completely independent type of analysis because you're using the models being derived from parts of the information and being compared to the density estimates that were used to construct it. So, but there is, I think, a great deal of coherence in the various processes, and that the calibration is reasonably well advanced in terms of trying to test this out. The system first became available about 2005 on a sort of a production scale, and you know there have been experiments done since then to try to address those very issues.
One very quick follow-up. If you had loss of equipment failure, does the center have the ability to then revert to its more traditional number of dredge tows remaining in the survey at that point?
Yes, that would be the plan. We do have two of them. I mean, there's one that the center owns, one HABCAM system the center owns. There is another one that HUI owns, and so we have that the ability to borrow in the short term. We do also have the ability on the SHARP to fall back on the dredge survey.
And as far as post-cruise imaging processing, you feel confident that the center is prepared for that with resources?
We are prepared for 2012 for longer term. I think I would defer again to my boss for that question. But you know we are prepared for that. We do expect to be able to make that capability. If we don't, then we won't. If we don't know that we have the ability to make that transitional cost, the post-processing stuff, there's no sense collecting the data.
Dave Gaethel, then we're going to switch over to the question.
Okay. Paul, on the slide on the bottom of page 8, the last point says survey data from broad-scale surveys, and basically goes on to say, you know, determines initial scallop abundance in each area. So from that, I assume you get a workup of biomass from initial scallop abundance?
Yes, I was just trying to get the slide here, so went too far, sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Okay.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. These can provide a non-model based estimate of abundance. So as we have in other instances, these can be tremendously powerful tools for validating the scale that's established in the simulator or in the estimation models. So both of the we're extraordinarily fortunate in both with the SMAS, the HABCAM, and other surveys to have multiple sources of information, each of which can provide a direct estimate of scallop biomass. I wish they had that same capability for my presentation tomorrow.
Well, the reason I asked that is I assume then, well, I know because I remember when we went through this with the dredge versus the SMAS, the calibration is something to be taken seriously and to be argued over endlessly. So I call your attention now to the slide on page 7, the top slide, it's the one with all the numbers. Yeah, that one. Closed area 2 south, which has 4 different surveys. It's the only one with 4. And they range from, 10 to 20. So there's basically 100% difference from the low end to the high end. So calibration here is critical. And that's what I was asking before with the research set aside. Are we going to have enough time and enough money to be to get this calibration right, to be as sure as we can that we've got it? We understand the differences between these various tools.
I certainly hope so. I know that doesn't probably sit very well, but the other issue, which I think is relevant on this particular comparison here, is the close agreement between the HABCAM and SMAS surveys for it. The dredge estimates of 15,000 metric tons for the our dredge and 20,000 for the VIM survey are based on estimated efficiencies of those dredges. So the issue there is that you have an experimentally derived estimate of the dredge efficiency or a model-based estimate of the dredge efficiency, which is used to rescale the survey numbers to get those direct estimates there. So what is being compared there between those two is reliant on the dredge efficiency estimate. In turn, these have a much higher relative efficiency. The efficiency or the bias associated with each of these camera systems is associated with the detection capabilities and measurement errors of size frequency.
Okay, just one last comment. And, I happen to think calibration is incredibly important, and I urge members of the scallop industry, in this case I mean both science and fishermen, to pay very careful attention to all of this. I'm convinced in groundfish we didn't pay enough attention to it, and we're paying a horrible price for it now. So kind of a word to the wise. I still think it might be a good idea to set some RSA money aside to work on this calibration issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. If you can hang in here for a little bit. My intention is to go to the listening session to see if we get some questions, and then we will come back to this same issue and wrap that up. I guess I I guess I. I guess I. I guess I.